You're listening to Issues and Ideas on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Jordan Bell. The Boys and Girls Club of America started more than 100 years ago to help children develop life skills through programs that include career, educational, art, and recreational outlets. And on the Central Coast, we have several clubs, but San Luis Obispo County just has two. The Paso Robles chapter of the organization recently expanded their summer program into Atascadero with 100 children enrolled and a waiting list. Kate Morgans is their new CEO. She joins us today in the studio. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks, Jordan. It's great to be here.
So what's going on this summer in Paso Robles, in the Paso Robles chapter of the Boys and Girls Club?
Well, the Paso Robles chapter, I mean, it's actually chartered as the Boys and Girls Club of North San Luis Obispo County. Mm-hmm. For a long time, we've really just focused in the Paso Robles area. But beginning last summer, we had a program for about 50 kids in Atascadero for the summer, which is a full-day program that runs from 7:30 to 6 at a cost of less than $12 a day. This year, by partnering with the Community Church of Atascadero, we were able to double the size of the program. So we've enrolled about 103 kids, and we have a waiting list. So I think, you know, the summer program has been really well received, and I think it's evidence that, there's a need outside of Paso Robles, and we're really happy to be able to start to really live up to our name as the North, you know, Boys and Girls Club of North Slo County.
Okay. And for those who may not understand what the Boys and Girls Club is, could you explain what the role of the Boys and Girls Club is in the community?
Sure. The Boys and Girls Club, and this is an organization that has been around for over 100 years, it's unique in that we are solely focused on kind of the time that kids have when they're not at home and they're not in school. So that's the after-school period as well as during the summer. And we're unique because that's all we do. We are solely focused on youth development, and we do also focus on, well, we define it as kids who need us most, but it's really disadvantaged youth, typically from lower-income families, and that's our sole focus, and I think that's what makes us unique for, compared to another of the other youth-serving organizations in our community.
Mm-hmm. And that time period between school and home, why is that a crucial time for development?
Well, it's a crucial time for development, but it's also a crucial time for safety because that 3 to 6 period is a time when there's a lot of kids getting into trouble and a lot of times when kids become victims of either crime or bullying. So that's one part of it. And the second is that this is time when the kids continue to be stimulated with fun and recreation and academic programs. And I think even, you know, importantly for a lot of the families we serve during the school year, our kids we have a program called Power Hour where the kids are split into age-specific groups with a youth development leader, and they do their homework for the day. So for families that either are a single-parent household or have two parents who work, to have their kids come home and have all of their homework done for the day is a huge advantage for the family as well as for the kid who goes to school the next morning feeling confident that they're prepared and their work has been done. So that's a huge component from an after-school perspective. During the summer, there's a phenomenon known as summer learning loss. And so that is especially acute for kids from lower income families. But on average, kids lose about 2 months of learning and reading and math. And if they aren't engaged in any programs, that can also be much greater than that. So a hallmark of our summer program is known as Summer Brain Gain, and this is 3 hours of instruction per day. Of course, it's sort of buried in lots of fun activities so that kids don't feel like they're in school again for the summer, but it's intended to prevent learning loss in both reading and math, and then also we focus on what we call 21st century skills, and that's things like problem solving and collaboration. We're very fortunate because Boys and Girls Club of America develops this curriculum, and it's a vast curriculum that goes for 6 weeks of the summer with, as I said, 3 hours of instruction every day. That's lots of team activities. It's games. It's arts and craft activities. There's math and reading and arts components. There's computer-based components. So it's a very fun multimedia program, and it has been proven by Boys and Girls Club of America to prevent summer learning loss. And in fact, this year, the national organization is doing a randomized trial so that they can get this program certified as an evidence-based program. But that's a very important reason why kids shouldn't just be home alone, you know, just doing, you know, playing video games or doing whatever during the summer hours, because that's a lot of free time. We also have a program that we call Triple Play during the summer, which is kind of a mind, body, and soul program that encourages physical fitness, regular exercise, as well as teaches sportsmanship and you know, good healthy habits and nutrition as well. So that's another key component. So when you package those two things together, kids who would otherwise be doing nothing during the summer are getting a lot of personal enrichment as well as fun during this time.
You're the new CEO of this chapter. What has your new role been like, and what sorts of things are you doing?
Well, I'm actually really excited to be in this role. I was a board member for 5 years, and then I took a bit of a hiatus. And so when I learned about this vacancy, I was really excited to apply for the position. I think, you know, one of the things that's exciting for me is that we partnered with MUST early on. I don't know if you're familiar with MUST. MUST is an organization that formed out of the wine industry in North County, and their mission is to address issues associated with poverty in the North County. And they will partner with 1 to 3 nonprofit organizations with the goal of making capacity building grants. And we were the first organization they partnered with, and they funded an externally focused CEO position, which we never had before because we couldn't afford it. And what that person did was, again, more externally focused. We had other very capable people running the programs on a day-to-day basis. But this was a position to build awareness of the Boys and Girls Club and our mission, as well as to do fundraising. And as a result of that, we are in a much better financial situation in terms of stability and sustainability than we have been in a very long time. And so I feel really fortunate to come into the organization, and kind of my two primary objectives are, number one, ensuring that our financial health and sustainability is maintained as well as improves, and then secondly, to be able to bring our programs and our services to other communities, hence the expansion in Atascadero. We also have been working on setting up an after-school program in Atascadero. Again, this is a much-needed program. You've got 46% of elementary school children in Atascadero enrolled in free and reduced lunch, which, as you know, is an important indicator of you know, people in low-income situation. And right now there is a very good after-school program in Atascadero, but it costs $44 a week per child. So there are many families that cannot afford that. So again, I mean, our program is $20 for the entire school year. Now the difference between the summer and after-school is we are able to almost cover the costs of the summer program from the fees that the families pay. However, the after-school program is a very different situation because we have to do quite a lot of fundraising to provide that program. We charge $20 per child, and it costs us anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 per child to provide that program. The Kiwanis of Atascadero this year have pledged 75% of the proceeds of their winemaker dinner, which raised probably will be over $30,000, coming to us as seed capital for the after-school program. However, unless we raise more funds in the next couple of months, we will have to postpone the start of that after-school program until the 2016 school year.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is the lifeblood of your organization?
Well, the lifeblood of our organization, certainly from a sustainability standpoint, of course, is donors. And we, our organization has chosen to not become dependent on government funding just because we view that as a very unstable source of funding. So we rely most importantly upon individual donors and private foundations. And from a donation standpoint, that's the lifeblood. I would say with that sort of as a given in order to even exist, you know, the lifeblood of our program, I believe, is the staff that work directly with the kids. Because one of the things that, you know, Boys and Girls Club of America, and again, and I think it's because it's been in existence for such a long time, coupled with the fact that this is all we do. We have no other types of programs or services that we provide. A lot of research has been applied to identify how do you really make a difference in the lives of these children. So we have a program that's called Formula for Impact. And basically the formula is we take the kids who need us the most, And then we have several, you know, we do a lot of high yield activities, but we have several principles for youth development. And those include creating a positive and safe environment for kids, making sure that they're having fun while they're at the club, supportive relationships with adults outside of their family. And that's where our staff and our youth development leaders come into play. Having high expectations in terms of behavior and attitude that we expect from our kids, as well as opportunities for them to shine in those areas. And then finally, recognition. So those are what Boys and Girls Club of America and we embrace and apply every day in our club as ways that we know will make a difference in the lives of our kids. And then what we're trying to achieve in terms of this formula for impact is that we seek outcomes in three areas: academic success. And for us, that really means first and foremost that every kid is going to graduate from high school and then be prepared, whatever it might be, whether they're going to go on to college or trade school or the military or simply enter the workforce. That's very important. So academic accomplishment and preparedness for whatever comes next. The second is character development and good citizens. We want our kids to be good people, to have constructive relationships with their peers, to learn conflict resolution, and also to be contributing to their communities. And then the third is healthy lifestyles, and that's fitness, nutrition, but also making good choices and avoiding risky behavior. So those are the outcomes that we seek to achieve.
What are your struggles right now as an organization?
I think the biggest struggle is certainly raising operating funds so that we can expand. I mean, that's really honestly the biggest challenge that we have, because we've got the execution down, mm-hmm. and we have great staff, so that even, for example, in Atascadero, we have a great complement of people that if we were able to have an after-school program, the staff are there. Mm-hmm. We also have partnered with the school district in Paso Robles. We've leased a new building that's also on our campus at Flamson, and that will be a dedicated teen center. We received a bequest to be used for capital improvement, so that we actually have the funds to renovate that building, and that renovation is getting underway right now. But again, we need to raise the funds, operating funds, to do the program. That's right. Our biggest challenge is the funds to hire the staff, and staffing, as you might imagine, is our biggest cost.
Right. Right. Now, are there numbers or anything that shows what happens when a Boys and Girls Club has a really big presence in a community?
There are a lot of numbers nationally that talk about things like school engagement is one big one. And it talks about, I mean, we actually measure the academic performance of all of our members. Mm-hmm. And we, for almost 100%, see improvement or sustained good performance as a result of Power Hour, which is during the school year. Mm-hmm. But Boys and Girls Club of America, they have a lot of statistics in terms of higher graduation rates, higher engagement in schools. They look at teens in particular in terms of the prevalence of fighting. Did you use alcohol? Do you smoke cigarettes? All of those things have much better outcomes for kids that are very engaged in the Boys and Girls Club. And it's important to realize that one thing that's important is that kids actually come. So we have a metric called average daily attendance. And in fact, our club has won an award. We won an award for second best club in the country with a budget under $500,000 that was based on growth in our membership, the quality of our programs, and also average daily attendance. Because some of the outcomes that I'm citing, if the kids aren't really coming on a regular basis, they're not going to benefit from the program. So the caveat is that those outcomes can be achieved when you really have your kids engaged and they're coming on a regular basis. In fact, this spring, we recognized one was in eighth grade and one was in seventh grade, two young women who have attended the club for 1,000 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was a very, very special time, and their parents spoke, and it was really incredible, because one girl in particular, her father is a single dad, and he said there's no way that he would have been able to raise his daughter without the support of the Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm. How do you build a culture that incentivizes kids to keep coming back?
Well, I think a lot of it is the relationships. One of the things that we measure ourselves is, does each and every kid, first of all, does every staff member know every child's name, number? I mean, and there are little things like that that add up to the club experience for the kids. And do they have a sense of belonging? Do they also have a sense of accountability? When I first started at our club, we had a staff meeting, and we have about 100 kids attending, and there were, I think, 11 staff members. And I just gave them each a blank piece of paper, and I took a 3-minute egg timer, and I turned it over, and I said, okay, write down the name of every child that you feel that you have a special connection with. Mm-hmm. And they all wrote them down, and we went through a process so that we eliminated any duplicates. And in 3 minutes, unaided recall, they named 83 kids out of the 100 that attend on a regular basis that someone had a very close connection with. And to me, that was a good outcome. And that's what I think keeps kids coming back, because they know that we're going to be looking for them. You know, like, I mean, because most of the kids that are in our program have a habit of being there almost all the time. In addition, we always have had a wait list in Paso Robles. We have a wait list of about 50 kids. So if there is a family that signs up and the kids don't really come, we tell them that we're going to take someone off the wait list to take their place, because they're not really taking advantage of the program. So if they don't attend at least 3 days a week, then we do pull someone off the mm-hmm. wait list to take their place. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really the relationships with the staff that keep them coming back. Also, one of the things that's unique about the Boys and Girls Club is sometimes kids in their school, they don't really find the right peer group. They don't fit in for whatever reason. And there's such a diverse mix of kids at our club, and they come from all of the schools, that more often than not, they can find a comfortable place and some peers. You know, one of the things about a safe and positive environment is that everyone is accepted. We do not tolerate any bullying, any mistreatment of anyone, and we accommodate kids with a lot of idiosyncrasies. We try to accommodate anyone with any kind of behavior issues, as long as it doesn't take away from the broader community of kids. We really go out of our way to work with kids with different needs and different personality styles. But I think that's one other benefit, is that sometimes the kids themselves find a peer group that they don't have at their school.
Right. And do you see a cross of, like, grades? Because in the school structure, it's like, oh, well, they're in a different grade, we're not going to be friends.
Yeah, we do see a lot of that. And especially, I mean, it kind of happens within the grades that are naturally grouped together. You know, obviously the middle schoolers stick together, the younger kids stick together. But they do, you know, first and second graders. Yeah. And, yeah, none of that. That kind of all gets stripped away when you're at the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, that's great. And now, what is your hope for the San Luis Obispo County particularly, and the future of the Boys and Girls Club here?
Well, I think our county is actually quite unique in terms of having a very, very low presence of the Boys and Girls Club. For in some of our neighboring counties, Monterey County has a huge Boys and Girls Club presence, as does Santa Barbara. The city of Santa Barbara has two very large clubs that coexist. Santa Maria has a very, very strong club. So we are kind of you know, outside the norm in not really embracing the Boys and Girls Club as a solution to take care of our lower income families. And I say families because, you know, obviously the kids, I mean, that's who we deal with on a, you know, most of our time is focused on the kids. But what we're also doing is helping working families and single parents. I mean, I don't, you know, frankly, I think their job is enormous. Mm-hmm. We know that our economy doesn't have a lot of head of household jobs here locally. A lot of families, the husband, the wife, or the single parent, they're working in hospitality or agriculture, which we know are not high-paying jobs. And so there is a need to take care of those families. And so my hope for the county is that between what we're doing in the north and what's happening in the south is that the community will come together to make this available. I mean, and again, I think it's important for people to recognize that the Boys and Girls Club is not the only solution. Or, you know, in Paso Robles, there are 4 different after-school programs, and they are all oversubscribed. There are lots of great other programs. There's the Champions program. The Y does a great job. But the Boys and Girls Club is unique, again, because all we do is concentrate on that time between school and home, and our focus is on kids that come from low income or disadvantaged circumstances. So we are different, and we have a very specific need that we address, and I believe that that need exists in our community and is currently not being met.
Mm-hmm. Kate Morgans is the CEO of the Northern San Luis Obispo County chapter of the Boys and Girls Club. Thank you so much for being here today, Kate.
Oh, it was really a pleasure. Jordan, I really appreciate your time. Thank you.